língua inglesa. Vamos dar início a esta audição com o Sr. Embaixador da Suécia em Portugal para a apresentação dos objetivos e prioridades da presidência sueca. So I'm now turning to English. Thank you very much, Mr. Ambassador, for your presence. It is a pleasure for us to welcome you and to hear and discuss your presentation on the main goals and priorities of the Swedish presidency. So if you agree, I will give you the floor for an introductory intervention, and then if you have no objection to that, we may have an exchange of views on the proposed priorities and the works of the Swedish presidency. Thank you very much, Mr. Ambassador.
Thank you very much, distinguished members of this committee. It's a real pleasure and an honor for me and my colleagues, my wife, and our stagiaria to be here in this beautiful building. It is from the same time as our own parliamentary building. 18 years ago, we applied for membership in the EU. And believe it or not, it was part of a crisis package, because Sweden was in a big financial economic crisis. Now we are in a good shape, and I think our policy has been a good example of how a Lisbon strategy could work in practice. The last elections were good for EU in Sweden. The government, which is a four-party alliance, mainly center-right liberal, gained. The Swedish Socialist is still the biggest party. It was more or less unchanged. Two parties that were against the Swedish EU membership, the Left Party, ex-communist, and the special June list, which was completely anti EU, lost heavily. The left with about 50%, and the June list was completely annihilated. At the same time, we got a new party, the Pirate Party. But it has joined the Greens, so actually it is a party which is not anti-European. Obviously, the challenges of today means we have to have cross-border cooperation, otherwise we will not solve the crisis we have. This means we need more EU, not less. And our vision today is a strong Europe. And we are now ready. We have been preparing ourselves for 2 years to work in the best interest of Europe and its citizens. We are also eager to promote the voice of EU in a difficult multipolar world. The life has changed, and the EU is one of many now quite big players. So we have to reinforce the voice of EU. We have to act globally in many areas. And as presidency, we will also prepare the voice of EU within the G8 meetings and the G20 meetings. The G20 meeting in autumn in the States is very important to stabilize the economies. And we are prepared to call for an extra summit of the European Council in September if that's necessary. You all know it's a tough period that is awaiting us. Normally the autumn presidencies are always short, and in that sense more difficult. But this is something extraordinary. I don't think many countries have confronted such a variety of unknowns. We have a new parliament, which is right now taking the first steps. We have a new commission later on, and we have a Lisbon Treaty, which is still undecided. And of course, underlining this, we have a crisis, which is the most severe crisis that we've had for many, many years. I think the Lisbon Treaty is extremely important, and we have good hopes that it will be passed. It will make the EU more democratic and efficient. It will also make you, as national parliaments, more involved in the EU business. And it will, of course, mean institutional changes. And I saw from a briefing that came in today from the COSAC meeting in Stockholm, where your chairman is right now, that Mrs. Wallström, the vice president, has noted an increased activity from the national parliaments towards European issues. And that's very helpful. We are slowly inching towards closer cooperation in this field. But it's also important to look at the everyday issues of the EU. You inherit normally about 80% of the work from your predecessors, in this case the French and the Czech presidencies. And this is the day-to-day matters. They are not spectacular. They are not. They don't reach the headlines. But they are important, and we wish to work hard to move those issues ahead. And we hope to hand over to our friends, the Spanish, next year, some very concrete results. We will be chairing about 3,000 meetings. And about 100 high-level meetings in Sweden. There will be about 12 ministerial meetings, informal such, in Sweden. And we will have 7 summits, one with Brazil, like you had, China, India, Russia, South Africa, Ukraine, and the USA. We have 5 main priorities: the economy and employment. We must make sure that the EU emerges from the crisis in a stronger position. The environment, we will try to put into place an international agreement on climate change. The Stockholm program, which is a cooperation in the field of security and rights of individuals. An EU strategy for the Baltic Sea, which means cleaner environment and more competitive region or macro region. And an outward-looking EU, its neighborhood, a continued enlargement process, and the world as such. As I said in the beginning, EU has to become a global actor. Now, the crisis. I think the joint efforts we have had have shown that working together has actually helped us come through the first phase of this crisis. And we intend to follow up, and we will also prepare new initiatives if that is necessary. One way to restore the confidence in our financial markets, and by doing that also helping our economy and the companies, is to make the EU work and project its ambitions within the G8 and the G20 groupings. If we had foreseen the risks with the financial system earlier, we would not have had such a severe risk, serious crisis. So the ambition now, during this autumn, is to reach an agreement on more regulation, better regulation, and supervision of the financial sector. There will be an establishment of a European body to supervise the stability in the financial system, which is more macroeconomic. There will also be a European system for financial supervision at the macro level, and to increase the cooperation between the national bodies that have a supervisory authority. But these are short-term measures. We also need to look at the long-term measures to make sure that the economic potential of Europe is not lost. And in that sense, it's very important to make sure that we have sound public finances. All the aid that we have now given to our banks and to our companies to make the liquidity increase in our systems is also costing our governments a lot, and it increases the deficits in our economies, in our budgets, That has to change, and we have to find a way back to restore balances. During the next decade, we have to move into an eco-efficient economy. We have to be aware of increased global competition, and we have to face the challenge of an aging population. I think Portugal and Sweden have a demographic problem a couple of years ahead. In 10 years, we will need to import more labor. So, a new strategy for a long-term growth and welfare is necessary, and Sweden intends to lay the foundation for a post-2010 Lisbon strategy. And then it will be up to our Spanish friends to take the decision during the spring. Of course, there are the traditional issues like annual budget, and maybe also, perhaps, a discussion on the budget review. But basically, this will be up to the Spanish colleagues to handle the budget review. The next big priority is the climate, and we all have to work to get this climate agreement into place, the post-Kyoto agreement. And EU, being the leader in this discussion, has a special responsibility. The big conference will take place in Copenhagen in December, as you know, and it is absolutely necessary to reach an agreement, and we will be working very hard as presidency, together with our colleagues in the EU, of course, but also with main actors like the United States and others, to try to get such an agreement. We have taken a lot of proactive steps in the European Union, but still we need to work very hard within the Union. And we will also have to work very closely with the other actors, China, India, Russia, United States, to get this thing moving. There are three critical problems ahead of us that we have to solve in advance of the conference, and that is how to achieve emission reductions within the industrialized world, including the States, for instance. The second is to reach emission limitations in growing economies, and the third critical problem is solving the financing for these countries to adapt and to change their economies. I just read an interesting proposal from the UK, which goes in the direction of arranging $100 billion per year during 10 years to help the transformation of the economies in the third world. It's just been tabled by the Prime Minister of Britain. The third big area of our activity will be the so-called Stockholm Program that safeguards security and the rights of individuals. The EU cooperation in the area of justice and home affairs has been developing gradually, and one challenge for us will be to bring this further ahead. And the ambition is to adopt a new strategic work program for the entire policy area: police, border, customs issues, legal matters, asylum, migration, and visa policy. And we have been in close contact with your ex-commissioner, Antonio Vitorino. He knows a lot about these things, and he has also given us good advice. The fourth big area is the EU strategy for the Baltic Sea area. After the transformation in the 90s, Sweden was a big winner, because on the other side of the Baltic Sea, we suddenly had three democracies, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, Poland became a market economy and a democracy, and Germany was reunited. So now we are eight EU countries around the Baltic Sea, and this makes it possible to arrange cooperation on a macro regional level to increase the security, to increase the environment, to better the environment, and to help our companies profit from the obvious possibilities. Such a strategy would be a test case for other macro region corporations. We have been following your cooperation with Spain. It's often necessary to take special measures to promote the border regions that are usually underdeveloped and to take steps to help the people in the border regions. We hope that this could be a good example for other cooperative efforts. The fifth area is EU as a global actor, reaching out to its neighbors and to the world. And of course, this is an area where we know very little of what could happen. Obviously, we are confronted with a foreign policy agenda, which is always moving, always changing. Right now, we have Iran, we have the Middle East, and some other conflict areas to handle. But we wish to work for an efficient external policy of the EU. And in that sense, we will be having consultations with member countries how to establish a European Action Service, the Foreign Ministry of the EU, perhaps. If the treaty is established, it is one of the points to create and to handle the EAS, the External Action Service. And there are many ideas about how this should be done, the priorities for such a service, how to man it, and how to lead it, and where in the system it should be put. So that's obviously one area where we have to work in close cooperation with the other countries. We think the continued enlargement process is important, and we will make sure that we respect the existing agreements. That means progress can be made in the case of Turkey, of Croatia, and we will also have to reach out to the Western Balkan countries. Needless to say, this is not an unconditional membership. We will make sure that the process towards membership is also treated with conditionality. It's very important that these countries move in the right direction. We will also try to focus on implementation of the Eastern Partnership, which was launched by the Czech presidency. That is increased cooperation with six countries, Ukraine, Belarus, Moldova, Armenia, Georgia, and Azerbaijan. We think it is important without having any kind of membership in view to reach out to make sure that these countries move and develop in the right direction. Of course, relations with Russia are of strategic importance, and our ambition is to have a comprehensive, frank dialogue and progress in the negotiations for a new agreement with Russia. And the new government in the States makes it possible to increase the area of cooperation with the United States, and we are very much looking forward to an increased transatlantic cooperation, which is absolutely necessary to come to grips with the big global questions. Developing countries are the ones who are most hit, actually, by the crisis. We all have problems, but they have even bigger problems. And in that sense, we will be looking into the aid sector. We will try to promote democracy and development, to promote aid effectiveness, and we will have a big conference in October called the European Development Days, with participation of member states' development ministers. To conclude, I would like to cite the Minister for European Affairs, Mrs. Malmström, who said, "Our ambition is to achieve results on a wide range of issues with the whole of Europe's best interests in mind. We will do this via an open and efficient presidency that focuses on the citizens. And we will, of course, make ourselves ready, available to the European Parliament. And we are very much aware that the presidency cannot do all this by itself. We have to have your support, your cooperation, and the cooperation of the other member states to make the EU move. And we count on Portugal to support us in counteracting the crisis, reaching this important agreement in Copenhagen on environment to make us come to good solutions when the Lisbon Treaty is accepted, and to promote a post-2010 Lisbon strategy. And I'm sure you can, within your tight cooperation with many countries in Africa, with Brazil, and within the Inter-American cooperation, you can make sure that the ideas of the EU is transmitted to these countries. Thank you very much, and I'm prepared to answer questions, and perhaps also Minister Councillor Kvile will help me in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ambassador, for your clear and plenty of interesting points presentation. Let me just stress that I think that the challenge Sweden is facing is maybe one of the most difficult in the history of the European Union. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that Swedish presidency will be an historic presidency, not only because it will be the last of the traditional presidencies in the European Union, but the dimension of the challenges it is facing are enormous, because Sweden is supposed to do in a little bit more than 4 months what was supposed to be done in several years. We all know that the first presidency of 2009 was a non-existent presidency for reasons which are public, and all the turmoil we are living, either because of the financial crisis, but also the change of the Commission, the new elections, the uncertainty about the outcome of the Lisbon Treaty process, all those, apart from the very striking issues which are over the table, like the international climate agreement, and so on. So it is a very challenging and a very difficult task the Swedish presidency has to face. And, well, taking advantage of sharing this meeting, I would like to ask you one first question. Maybe I would suggest you, Mr. Ambassador, not to answer question by question, but to have some two or three questions. My question relies on, is it really possible to tackle all those subjects without losing the trend somewhere, because time is limited, and I guess that until mid-September, beginning of October, nobody will clearly see what will be the outcome and the future of the European Union.
And I'm a little bit worried, a little bit puzzled about ambitious program of the Swedish presidency. I know that, well, one should be ambitious in order to get results, but I wonder if there is not a little bit too much ambition in this program. I know Sweden is preparing its presidency for quite a while, but the number of uncertainties and the questions for which we still don't have an answer, and we don't know when the answer will come, will put a lot of pressure on the Swedish presidency. Well, before giving the floor to you, I open the floor to the other members of the parliament. As a matter of fact, this is also our last or the last ordinary meeting of this committee. Mm. So we are fully open to cooperate, but I'm not sure we will be in a position to do so, because most of us will not be here. And of course, you stress that Swedish presidency and Sweden in particular counts on the Portugal support. I don't want to disappoint you, but I think that in the next 2 to 3, maybe a little bit more months, there will be not so many support from Portugal, because everybody will be involved in either national elections, local elections, formation of the new government, which will not be an easy task. And so I think that when Portugal will open the window again, we hope that the European problems are already solved without our intervention. I give the floor to Mr. Jorge Tadeu Morgado.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Ambassador. I would like to welcome you here on our commission on behalf of PSD, my party. We are the main opposition party. We are an EPP, as you know, and as our chairman has just said, this is our last meeting. So only from November onwards, I would say that our parliament and our institutions will be able to help you in a more effective manner on your new endeavor that you have for the next months. However, I would like to say some things about your program and what you have just said. And first of the things I would like to stress is about the new commissioners. We don't know if we will have Nice or Lisbon in the next few months. I would say that the Ireland referendum will be on favor of the Lisbon Treaty. Last polls say that. I've been in Ireland 1 month and a half ago. I've spoken with lots of people, not only politicians, also people from the streets. And I would say there's a growing support for the European Union and also for the Lisbon Treaty. So I think we will be able in October to have Ireland supporting the treaty. Because we have this problem, which is very, I would say, it's very unique. We have a new president of the commission, a new chairman, but we don't have the rest of the commissioners. So this is a bit of a weird thing that we must solve. I hope that Ireland and the Lisbon Treaty will become on enforcement during the next months, I would say in the 1st of January of 2010, I think. So I hope that the Irish people will be able to give to the Lisbon Treaty its support, and I hope that also you, as you just said, that the Swedish presidency will be able to finish everything, to make all the meetings, all the arrangements, all the legal work to be done for the treaty to be in effective on the 1st of January. As you said, the economic and financial crisis, it's the big thing that the politicians must tackle all over the world, not only here in Europe, in our countries, but also in the rest of the world. And I was really pleased to see that you are preparing a new growth and employment strategy. And that's a good thing, because new problems need new solutions. And I was very pleased to see that you are really preparing a new growth and employment strategy that will substitute the Lisbon strategy, which is already almost 10 years old. And so I think that's very important, because unemployment needs really to be tackled on our continent. And I would say that the new growth and employment strategy, it's necessary. And not only the measures, as the one that were presented 3 weeks ago by Mr. Barroso, will be necessary. Of course, we strongly support Mr. Barroso. He's the former president, chairman of my party, so we strongly support him. About the reinforcement of supervision, I would like to say that I strongly agree with the statement that your prime minister has just said on the Riksdag on the 23rd of June, when he said a football match needs a referee just as road junction needs traffic lights. Similarly, the financial crisis has demonstrated that financial markets need improved supervision and stricter regulations. I know all this package of regulation, it's being worked by the European Commission. I know a few regulations are already approved. I hope that the full package will manage to be ready by December, and I hope that in the last Council of December of your presidency, all the package, or at least almost all of it, because as our chairman said, it's an ambitious program, will be ready, because I really think that the macro supervision at continental level will be good for us as citizens, as investors, and I would say that we will be more prepared and more confident on the system to invest, to reinvest, and I think that's very important, and I hope that this statement will be effectively well worked. Other two things I'd like to stress, it's about Europe neighbor policy. I think it's important that Europe keeps on talking and making meetings and helping and stimulating our neighboring countries, and I think that's very important, because I think the policy in Europe for our neighbors has to be straight to the countries and to the regions of the world with whom we want to work. I think we need a neighboring policy, a different neighboring policy for different regions of our borders. I would say an eastern policy, it's important, but also a Mediterranean policy. And the problems that the eastern countries have, and its geopolitical location, it's different from the ones in the Mediterranean or from the Middle East. Because that's the point, when we speak about Azerbaijan, Armenia and Georgia, we are speaking about a different region of the globe which has specific problems, and I think that neighboring policy should be tailor-made for the region we want the region we speak about. And also the strengthening in cooperation in justice and home affairs, I think that's very important. Our presidency, the Portuguese presidency, has begun a global approach to immigration, which has been finished during the French presidency. I think there's also, as you said, there are different matters where justice and home affairs can be brought together, and I think that we really should go on a common policy on these matters. But this is a personal opinion, I must say. This is my personal opinion. And I think that we can have a common policy, or at least a big harmonization of policies and one straight port for all of it. Also, personal opinion, I also think, as your Prime Minister just said on Riksdag, that the fight against climate changes and greenhouse effects are possible to be are possible to be brought together with the measures to stimulate economical growth. I think that's possible. I know that there's a big issue about that all over Europe, also in Portugal, of course, and because people say that if we care for the environment, we won't be able to stimulate the economy, at least to its potential. But I think it's possible, and sustainable development ideas should always be present on all our policies. We also forget that this is a very new idea. Only in 1987 this was put on the discussions, because sustainable development is very new after our common future of Gross Brundtland. And so the point is that I think it's possible, I think this must be on our minds, and I think that it's possible, and I personally, I support this idea that you have, that is possible. And that's it, Mr. Sherman, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Ambassador, I apologize for my delay, but I was in the meeting of duration of the Socialist Party, so I welcome you on behalf of the Socialist Party. I read your program, and I think it is an ambitious program also, but I hope you can successful work on that. I think it's an ambitious program, but also we have a very critical period in Europe and in the world. We have a big crisis, the biggest one since the end of the Second World War. So we should work to have answers to people, to the citizens that hope and have hope on the European institutions. So we have many challenges. First of all, we need to have a strong treaty as the Lisbon Treaty. So we should work on the Irish referendum to have the treaty of Lisbon. The second one is facing the crisis and to have answers to the citizens means that we should have the importance of the citizens in the middle of this crisis. Everybody who has fear to lose the work and facing every day so many problems. And we have another challenge, that we have the migrations flux, so many that come to Europe to have new opportunities, and we need to integrate these people and to give them the same opportunities we have to the European citizens. So I think the crisis, economical and social crisis, but also to integrate this one who have hope on our Europe. And one of the answers I think we should really work is that one that you mentioned here. I didn't heard, but someone told me, is this new concept about the economy, eco-efficient economy. We should have more attention, and that's why Copenhagen conference will be so important, to have new answers in the new subject in Europe, is to work the climate changes and to have employment also, but to have another impulse to the economy. But what I really like to hear from you, Mr. Ambassador, is what you think about the iron situation at the moment. I think Europe should have answers also. And I would like to have a few words of you about the relations between European Union and Russia after this visit of Barack Obama. And I think that something will change, and it will be good if Europe have a better relation with Russia, or even if Russia change its position with European Union. That's why, and I hope you, the best for your presidency. Thank you.
If there is no other questions, I will give the floor to Mr. Ambassador. Please.
Well, thank you. I just mentioned a few points. Those who want to see the full list of activity we have are welcome to study the work program, which in itself is also just a short. Yes, it is ambitious, but I think, as you mentioned, I think Europe is prepared to take a fight right now. Europe needs to get together and face the crisis that we have, the big challenges. And I have the feeling that we are ready to do something within the European area. So in that sense, I think the climate is for more Europe, and that is good. Then a lot of these things will be done in the normal procedures in the different councils. If you take the economic matters, they will be dealt with in about four councils, the ECOFIN, the competition, the EBSCO, and the transport and telecom, the TT. And we have a good working tradition in these councils. I'm also very confident that the key persons in Sweden, like the Prime Minister or Foreign Minister Bildt, our Finance Minister, Mr. Borg, and the Minister for Environment, they are all extremely experienced and ambitious and have good networks. And I think on that account, we are well served. We also have what I would call a kind of a truce. The opposition does not make problems for the government during the time we have the presidency. I think that's normal, but in some cases it has not been so. So I think there will be a good working environment. And in many areas, of course, what the presidency can do is not always achieve the complete results, but we can perhaps influence the direction of it. We can put the emphasis on some things like employment, citizens. We can make things start, and then it is up to our friends, the Spanish, who are very well organized as well, to continue. And we also act out of strong convictions, because we have had problems before, we have overcome our problems, and we have a very strong economy. Actually, we had a surplus in our budget. We use about 4% of our GDP for research. We are complete free traders. We are open to all the competition from the global area, and still it's working well. We have, like you, a lot of renewable energy, and we use a lot of techniques to reuse, to make use of the refuse, etc. So our environmental experience is very thorough, very long. And in that sense, I think we can speak with certain authority. Even if we're a small country, we have done a lot of our homework. And as I said, the system in Sweden, the social model, the economy, is a good example of what the Lisbon strategy actually was supposed to be. I can only agree with what you said. Perhaps I should, in here in Portugal, I should have mentioned this football thing. It's very important. But anyway. No, I think the sustainable development strategy is important. We just cannot use our resources the way we are using. But this is now common knowledge, and I'm very impressed with what you do here in Portugal in the area of environment. I think you are, your ambitions are very, very high, and I see a lot of interesting things here. And it's quite obvious that it's not something against economic development. It's not something against production when you are conscious about the environment. On the contrary, it's profitable. Waste is profitable. Most of our communities, most of our municipalities use the waste. There's a lot of energy in waste. And they burn it. And it's used for district heating. Some municipalities use the refuse also from industry to create biogas, and they run their buses, the local buses, on biogas. It's cheap, it's free. And this is something we will promote in a special seminar we will have in the Gulbenkian Foundation in the beginning of November here in Lisbon. Well, obviously, some people who have benefited from the free access and free transit over the borders is the criminality. And it's absolutely necessary that we work closer together where it's possible to inform, to make the cooperation between the police and the judicial authorities more efficient to counteract this increased criminality. Lisbon Treaty, yes, obviously. We have to have a vision where we want to go and how we shall achieve this. And I think it's a pleasure also to see that the word Lisbon Strategy is still being kept, and it will continue as an idea. And Citizens in Focus, yes, well, that is obviously a pet Swedish subject. Equality between sexes, access to documents. We will propose an amendment this autumn to the access of documents so people can get into the Commission more easily to get documents. In Sweden, all documents are open except the very secret ones. So you have a right to get all the documents from the authorities. I think the Irish question, because it was Ireland, you said, not Iceland, Iran. Okay, sorry, many countries. Well, Iran and Russia then. Obviously, these are important areas. Russia is different. There, it's more a question of organizing our cooperation. And I have full faith in Europe when it comes to getting its act together and actually discussing with one voice with Russia. I think that's important. So actually we can get a kind of a dialogue between two equally strong partners. But let's face it, Russia needs us more than we need Russia. So I mean, really, it's in their interest really to use the potential of increased cooperation. The Russian development is completely dependent on the investments from the European companies to make this society work. And Iran, of course, is right now developing, and our foreign minister has been in touch with his homologue in Tehran several times. We are actively discussing with them, and that is a very traditional Swedish way of handling things. You discuss, you speak to people. And I think with that attitude we might be able to avoid a deepening of the crisis. And we are taking a step-by-step activity now, and now it's up to the Iranians to respond to what we have done. And I think Sweden, being in the country it is, cannot be seen by the Iranis as a hostile country. We really wish to find a basis for cooperation.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. Deputado Humberto. Muito obrigado, Sr. Presidente. Mr. Ambassador, I'll try to do my best with my poor English. And so, I'll be very short and put a simple question. Before, I think you choose to do great, the best priorities in this program, financial crisis, employment, and environment. But my question is this one. If the treat has a bad result in the Irish referendum, so you have a child in your hands, what to do? Do you have a plan B? I know you must decide the problems together. It's not a problem to the Swedish government. But maybe you can tell us what the Swedish think about next step if the things don't go very well as we wish. Thank you.
Há mais alguma questão que queiram colocar? I guess there is no other question. Well, even if just adding to the question, Mr. Humberto Pacheco just asked you, even if the result of the Irish referendum is favorable, there are still some other pending issues. The Polish, the Czech, the UK, we still don't know what is the... What will be the UK government in October or November? Let's wait and see what are the evolution. It's not very probable, but it's possible. So the threat is not only an Irish threat, and but the question remains the same. Has Sweden any kind of B, C, D, E, F plan, or several rescue plans to face this situation if it arises?
Well, this is a favorite question to our Prime Minister, and he says the plan B. Normally we don't use plan Bs, but if you want an answer, it is the Nice Treaty, which is the one we are working under now. Of course, we will have to change a lot of things. It will mean a different type of working in the future and so on. It will probably make all our ambitions much more difficult to reach. Obviously, the Lisbon Treaty would really dynamize the European cooperation. I would like to touch on the institutional questions which you raised a bit. I'm happy to see that in the European Parliament there is an agreement now between the PS and the EPP, PSE and the EPP on Barroso. So he will be elected in September. And that is better, because at one stage it was very unclear when during the autumn he would be. But there is an agreement, and the two parties will share the chairmanship of the presidency of the European Parliament. So there is a comfortable majority for voting. And our government has just initiated a process whereby the government will nominate Barroso from a legal point of view. As you know, from the last European Council, there was a kind of a political nomination. Now there will be a formal nomination by written procedure, and with that as base, the European Parliament can act, and then things will be rolling. But I suppose Mr. Barroso is with this latest development, which is just recent, he will probably, in his head, make up some ideas about A, what he wants to do with the Commission. I think that's important, a kind of a program. He will also start thinking about people. There will be many new commissioners. Swedish Commissioner Mrs. Wallström, she will not continue. And there are some others who have left because they have become ministers, or they have become members of parliament or something else. So there will be a new team, and it will take some very clever thinking how to organize the Commission. You have to take a lot of things into account, geography, the important posts where you have to have people with a certain background, perhaps. We all know from the press that some countries want one or this or that commissionship. We'll see how Barroso deals with that. But we don't know in Sweden who will be the Swedish commissioner after Mrs. Wallström. It's a big, big unknown. But then, of course, with the Lisbon Treaty, you have to have an elected president of the council, which is something quite new. How do we do that? What is the responsibility of such a person? How is the political balance among the president of the Commission, the president of the Council, and the High Representative for Foreign Affairs? Two EPP and one socialist or one liberal? We don't know, really. That will be somehow handled during the autumn. Well, but there is already one type of balance now. But this is going to be interesting. I mean, obviously we will have a very tight agenda. Once the Irish referendum is over and hopefully a positive result will emerge, then there are not many weeks, really, to get everything in.
Yeah. If I may say so, because, well, if things goes wrong, all the presidency will be in a mess. If by any chance there is a negative result in the Irish referendum, if the Polish or the Czech enter into a very complicated process, this will be very complicated for the Swedish presidency. But it will also be very complicated if there is a positive result in the Irish referendum. Czechs and Poles, the Polish ratified the treaty, and you have some, not even 2 months, it's 1.5 with Christmas in the middle, to put everything in order to create the conditions for the new president of the Union to be elected. So this is the kind of situation your presidency will have to manage on site. Every day the prime minister, the Swedish prime minister, has to look to the papers and see it's today, it's tomorrow, what shall we do? I also have a small remark, because I'm a little bit puzzled by the fact that one of your priorities for the Swedish presidency is full employment in a period where unemployment is so high, and in the short, even in the medium term, it will be difficult to get things in an acceptable way, using the flag of full employment when you have 10, 12, 15, 20% by the end of this year. The next European presidency will have, in the 1st of January, some 20% of people unemployed. So speaking about full employment, it's a little bit misguiding.
Well, of course, we are not magicians, and we will not be able to use the magic wand and get full employment. I think this is an ambition. I think it's an attitude which is important. I think in everything we do, we should not actually forget that people are getting unemployed, that there is a tremendous social trauma out there, and that in all the things we do, be it small or big, we have to keep the employment in mind. We have to also take measures nationally make the unemployment as short as possible. People should not go into an unemployment and never come back. It's extremely important that you arrange temporary measures, or that you have retraining or you find other measures. It could be also company-wise differences. You can go down to a short week or something like that. But we should really jointly try to avoid to have a complete release of workers. We should try, wherever it's possible, to find, to shorten this trauma. It could be educational measures. It could be many things. I can mention one thing for you. We have a long experience in Sweden in training and educating older people, people who have left school but have a low level of education. And this system of training adults is now used here. We have a program called Fasila, and it's actually quite successful. It's not geography and history like in the school. It's more computer, English, how to work in a company, how to make use of the technical possibilities in a company, etc. So it's a different way, but it's a very important way. And this is an old tradition in Sweden. We have these kind of adult education for decades, and it's quite interesting. And it does work. It does make people more confident. It does make them try new job opportunities, and you just don't leave them somehow. I think that's quite important. But nobody has full employment. I quite agree. The word might be misleading, but the ambition still is there.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. I agree with you, and even with the what you have said. With I think that Sweden is for sure one of the most advanced member states or countries in vocational training, in adult education. It's definitely one of the good examples. My problem is that given the situation right now, speaking about structural reforms in order to tackle with the unemployment problem is the same thing. You have someone very, very ill in front of you. You are talking that there is a very interesting medicine he can take in 2 years' time. The guy is just dying. And the problem is you have lots of people getting into unemployment day after day, and you need short-term measures and not structural reforms. Structural reforms are important, and of course you have to go on with this kind of structural reforms, but you have you are facing, you, it's EU, European Union, and the world is facing a terrible problem right now, and nobody really is finding immediate short-term measures to put on hold this problem. Well, we know that both the Commission with a 100 million package of Barroso and the Member States, everybody has some programs in order. But as far as we have seen until now, the results of those programs are very, very poor. The unemployment figures are not increasing so much as one expected, but they are still increasing, or they are stabilizing in very high percentages. And this is not a problem of the Swedish presidency. For sure, this is not even a problem of the Czech or the French or the Portuguese presidency. But we are discussing in the European framework, we are discussing structural reforms in the labor and employment market for the last 10 years. And so far, the results are not very good. This is more a comment than a question, but of course I would be delighted for you to address these issues.
Well, I think if you look around, and if you look at all the programs that EU has
if we would actually take a decision on all these things, things would move. It would make a big difference. I will only mention one typical example. It's the community patent. We have been discussing this for a long time, and with one patent for the whole of Europe, even smaller companies could apply and get a patent and be sure, and they will. This will make smaller companies research much more. It will make smaller companies more technical oriented. And why shouldn't we be able to agree on a community patent? Well, it has been upheld by some countries because of language questions. It's a pity, really. We are so close, and it would be fantastic if we could get an agreement this autumn on the community patent. We have to show people in the market that we are able to take a decision. And perhaps if you meet your Spanish colleagues, you can ask them to agree on the community patent.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Ambassador. I think there is no more questions. It was a pleasure to welcome you here, and it was a very interesting presentation. I wish you and the Swedish government all the success for this very ambitious and demanding presidency, and I hope that on the next January 1st, Sweden will be able to present the best results we all hope. Thank you very much.
Thank you. May I just show you a German humor drawing to show how this person saw the Swedish presidency? And it is like this. It's like an IKEA.
It's an IKEA, yes.
But in a way, it's true, you know. It's simple, it's open, it's transparent, and it's practical. That's how we want to see our presidency.
Provided it works.
And it will work.
But that's a good one.